Bad news, most of Vegas's population were turned into zombies. Good news, if I went there to play poker against them, I would probably win more. Howdy, I'm Jeff Goldsmith, and this is the Q&A. My agenda is simple. Each week, I plan to bring you in-depth insights into the creative process of storytelling. Folks, we have a great episode for you today. We have co-writer Shay Hatton and co-writer-director Zack Snyder to talk about their latest film, Army of the Dead. Now, I absolutely love a good zombie film, and this one was highly entertaining. I mean, I say it later in the interview, but I mean it. After I completed watching the movie, the first thing I did was go back and rewatch the opening sequence because the opening title sequence was so freaking great. And as Zack refers to it later, it was like creating his own short film at the beginning of the film, which was really a blast to watch. But Zack and Shay were completely forthcoming about their creative process and what it took to write Army of the Dead. So I know you'll dig this episode. And speaking of things to dig, I hope while you're surfing around online, you check out Backstory Magazine over at backstory.net. You could read us on a desktop or laptop or via our iPad app, Backstory. You know, if you've never read us before, you could check out our free issue to test drive us. And if you like what you read, I hope you consider becoming a subscriber. And if you want to become a subscriber, use coupon code SAVE5. That's SAVE and the number 5. And that will save you $5 off a subscription to Backstory Magazine for a year. So look, it would mean a lot to me to have my podcast listeners and my YouTube watchers of the Backstory Magazine YouTube podcast, where you could see the Zoom cast of these Zoom interviews that we're doing during the pandemic. It would mean so much for me to have you all become subscribers to Backstory Magazine. So thanks for considering. But now, without any further ado, let's jump right into our conversation with co-writer Shay Hatton and co-writer-director Zack Snyder about their latest film, Army of the Dead. Shay, Zack, it's good to see you. How you guys doing today?
Doing good, doing good. It's exciting to be here.
Awesome.
Well, doing great.
So, Zack, going way far back, I was actually on your set for Dawn of the Dead many years ago, and I was there as a journalist when you guys went to the mall. And it was really cool to watch you direct. It was a fun experience. What was your most important lesson from Dawn of the Dead that you felt you learned about kind of the zombie genre by the time that you were done?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that for me, the biggest thing I learned was that you can have fun without making fun necessarily, without being too snarky and too cool for it. You know what I mean? Like, there's this kind of sweet spot tone where you're still reverent for the material, but because you're sort of self-aware that you're in the movie, you're able to, you know, let the audience in just a little bit on the kind of self-reflective quality. So like that you can almost break it every now and then. And that was a tone I kind of really got obsessed with that I think that we kind of brought to Army a little bit.
Well, I watched the behind the scenes on Netflix, and it said that you basically had this idea for a long time. And I'm curious, because, you know, this happens to a lot of writers. How long did you know to just kind of sit on it? Because this is many years later, and it seems like it had been percolating for a long time. So at what point did you decide to dust off bank heist, zombie film as a combo and really get serious about writing it again?
Yeah. Well, we had written a script. Toby Harold wrote a script for us a while back, and we had another director and we were talking about doing it. Couldn't get it together. Warner Brothers couldn't get it together. We couldn't, there was, you know, the movie was too expensive or the movie, whatever. There was a lot of rules or reasons and rules. And so we kind of just let it go. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? The problem with the idea is so easy to pitch, right? It's a very pitchable thing. You know, if you say, it's a heist movie with zombies, people go, you know, if you're the head of a studio, you're like, oh, okay, I see, got it. You know, and that's a, and I was at Netflix and we were just talking about potential projects. And I just said, well, also there's this idea I have for a zombie heist movie. And they were immediately they thought that was great. And so then it was like an uptown problem of like, oh, they want us to do this. And I haven't really thought about it for, you know, 10 years, 15 years or however long it had been. And yeah, so, you know, thank God I knew, Shay was available.
Well, that's my next question. So Shay, at what point did you get involved and what was the status of the project? As Zach just explained, that script did exist, but you guys moved forward, I'm sure, and retooled.
Yeah, so I came onto it, I think, like the week after it had ended up at Netflix. And, you know, it was kind of a quick timeline on it where it was going to go pretty quickly. So I just, got the call to go meet with Zach, and he pitched me the idea. And as he said, it's an eminently pitchable idea. So I think within like 9 seconds of him saying zombie heist, I was like, yes, 100%. That's something I would absolutely love to be involved with. And it really was one of those things that, then fortunately we were able to get going on pretty quickly. And we kind of just, basically started working from the ground up and from all the ideas that Zach had been kind of percolating on in the many years since he last thought about it. And we within a few months we're putting together a whole new script.
So what year was this when you came on, Shay?
Oh, I think this was like January of 2019.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, in the scope of Hollywood, that's like a relatively, a very quick, journey for me on this thing. It wasn't the 10-year odyssey that it was for Zach.
We had decided not to read the old script. I didn't read it again. I didn't go back and look at it. I don't know if you did, Shay, but I did not.
I did not, but I would be very curious to now as a fan of Joby's work. But at the time I was like, I feel like I should stay separate and not be too deterred by it or influenced.
Zach, you end up with a lot of story ideas on your films. Your last produced screenplay credit was 300 Rise of an Empire. So it was really great to see you screenwriting again. And I just want to talk about your creative habit for the two of you when you sit down to write. How important is outlining at the beginning of your process when you're breaking a script? And how did it work with you and Shay as co-writers?
Yeah, we sat pretty much and kind of talked out the outline, for I think it was two or three meetings where we just talked out everything, like all the ideas, as much as possible. I mean, more came, of course, but it was like the initial whack of ideas. And that was a big, and we created a document based on just that. I think, how was that, like 80 pages or something crazy like that? The ideas document was crazy.
I think it was more even just for me, like taking notes frantically during those early meetings. We had like over 100 pages of just like myriad ideas and stuff that we then started just kind of corralling into shape. And then before we started giving up, our respective sections .
And so once you guys had that, how long did it take you to really start busting out a first draft? And were you guys writing together in person, like in the same space, or were you sending a draft back and forth?
Well, we sent the drafts back and forth, but we kind of like, we just divvied up the scenes. I'm like, oh, let me take this. And Shay be like, I'll do that. And we kind of just went through the whole thing. Shay managed the full document and I would just send over my pages, and then he was the curator of the full draft.
Everybody has different habits. Do you prefer to give yourself a goal of a certain amount of pages to write each day, or a certain amount of hours that you like to spend writing?
For me, it's always kind of just been like a process of like each project has its own requirements. So for instance, like some of them are very slow and like you write them over the course of a couple of years, just kind of in the background. But on this one, when I came onto it, it was pretty much go right away. So I just started doing as much as possible. And just with us, trading those documents back and forth. And I think for at least a few weeks, me putting pretty much all my time into it initially. And then that was for just like the brutal first draft. And we started kind of going back and writing over each other and tweaking each other. So I think it came together into a first draft within a couple of months. But then obviously there was, many, many revisions after that.
Sure. Zach, what about you? Do you prefer a certain amount of hours a day you like to spend writing, or a goal of a certain amount of pages that you like to write a day?
Mine's more like scene driven. Like I have, the sort of scope of the work. And then I try and do the scope. I try and use the sort of Ernest Hemingway. Like when I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen next, I stop and I'm like, okay, well, then when I come the next day, it totally does work, where I can go straight in or whatever I have. I try not to button it up, but you know what I mean? Cause I just think that just sitting down cold is hard for me. I like to get inspired and go. And I write on a legal pad. I kind of write longhand.
Oh, okay.
And so, It's just the way I like to work. And I've like, no, in here, the problem is I lose my, what, like I work on a couple different things. And so all the different legal pads are kind of on top of each other. So I'll pick one up and be like, what is this? Like, what, is this what I'm working on? So it's a little bit of slight chaos, but it seems to be okay.
Well, you bring up something serious that a lot of writers deal with when you're handwriting. Sometimes you could lose kind of some of your ideas and the scribbles and the margins and you know, three notepads ago. How do you collate all that stuff?
So Ben, who I work with, he has to like put everything into final drafts like immediately. So
okay,
and we try and do it as quick as we can, just for that reason, because. I'll look back at the legal pads and be like, oh my God, what is that? Ben, you are a genius to be able to decipher this. Cause a lot of times it's just a bunch of, it looks like nonsense, but you know, there'll be like arrows and like scribbled out things. You know how it looks.
That's good. So you do have it transcribed.
I do have, I have to get it transcribed.
That's important. All right. So podcast listeners, watchers on YouTube of the Backstory Magazine YouTube page, we are going to get into spoilers quite quickly. So if you have not yet seen Army of the Dead, please go watch it on Netflix. It's sitting there right now. It's waiting for you. Go see it. It's great.
Yes.
Oh, one of the things that I just loved, you have a really distinct opening. And you know, a lot of zombie movies, obviously the Romeros, they skirt explaining the outbreak. You'll sometimes see clips of it. You'll hear it as a pastiche on TVs, radios, etc. And he also had fun later in his career playing with different versions because that's how misinformation spreads. Who would really know how it started? But you show this distinct version here, and it's definitely something that's been militarized with Zeus being transported. What gave you the idea for that opening and then the lead in to that amazing opening sequence, which right after I finished the movie was the first thing I went back and rewatched like three times. But what gave you your starting point of this militarized zombie to show us right from the start that it's a different zombie that has fighting skills? And there's a reason that you show us why.
Well, Shane and I talked about the plan was maybe to do a little bit in the future, a little bit more with the zombie origin. So I just thought it would be fun to kind of show like, and by the way, it's still vague, you know, it's more about how it was released than exactly the why of it.
Sure.
So that was kind of part of the why, but also it just makes for a good hook, you know, as far as, even just that image of Zeus standing, looking down at Vegas at the end of the sort of opening where you're like, okay, that can't be good. Like that's going to end in tears. and then, you know, the title sequence was a thing. That was just like me kind of writing a short film that I, with no dialogue, you know, about, you know, the fall of Vegas and sort of the origins of our Lost Vengeance team. But yeah, it was and just fun to do. I enjoy that kind of.
It's a great opening sequence because you really, like you just said it is a short film and it shows people the fall of Vegas, but also the walling off of Vegas. And it was one of those show it, don't tell it. You track the soccer mom searching for her daughter and you know, dying in the final shot of it with the cargo crate dropped on them. And it was just a fantastic sequence. Just everything about it, I just really loved.
I forget, Shay, on the page, the car, it was written that they got killed, right?
Yeah, it was always written that they got killed. And I think, I mean, that's my personal favorite detail about the movie is that the writing credit is right over the child that's been smashed by the shipping container. But yeah, I think in the original script, I think there was even kind of more detail about her kind of on that search. But I think it comes through really well in the final product.
Yeah. And Zach, you're right. You know, you're not actually explaining the origins. You're showing the outbreak. So you're totally right about that. But again, showing that it's coming from Area 51, it was in this special crate that Zeus was in, it actually does a lot of explaining without doing cheesy exposition. in which why this was able to be contained in your film specifically to Vegas. And it's not happening over the rest of the United States like, you know, some of the other zombie films are. So that definitely worked. How much time would you guys say takes place between the outbreak and when the team is going in? Is that like 2 years?
I think 6 years is kind of what we landed on. And in our initial conception of it,
it kept getting shorter.
10. Yeah. It was going to be like 10, I think, right? Initially. And then we kind of ended up shortening it to 6 just for the timeline of some of the characters and how much we wanted them to
originally
have changed,
it was 10.
And then you ended up as 6.
Yeah. Okay. And I think actually now, I mean, just according to like all the prequels and everything, it's probably more like 4 years or somewhere in there.
Okay.
But that's why we left it out, because I was like, it's an empty time. Enough time has gone by.
Right. Time has passed. But if you pin it down too specifically, then it could theoretically screw us over in the future as we try to fill in that time. So it's always good to leave things a little bit, you know, give yourself a little bit of a buffer zone.
Ooh, hey, I'm jumping in really quick to remind you to check out Backstory Magazine over at backstory.net. You could read us on a desktop or laptop or via our iPad app, Backstory. And folks, if you never read us before, I really hope you test drive us and check out Backstory Magazine and read the entire free issue, because there's so much in it. And we have a lot of great stuff that we've published recently. Yes, we did our Oscar issue a while back, but you know, we're adding new stuff to it as new films and TV shows come out. And there's a lot of non-Oscar stuff in there as well. So make sure to check out our table of contents at backstory.net to see what's inside. Of course, you also have access to our archive, which we are continuing to add new issues to. It currently goes back to about issue 28 or so. And, you know, you have access to anything we do for a year. So look, it would really mean a lot to me to have my podcast listeners in iTunes and Spotify and the folks watching these Zoomcasts on the Backstory Magazine YouTube page become subscribers. So thanks for considering. But now, without any further ado, let's jump right back into our conversation with co-writer Shay Hatton and co-writer director Zack Snyder about their latest film, Army of the Dead. You know, the big spoiler of the film, and this is something that's really fun to get into, is that in the zombie genre, what's often shown as the antagonist isn't just the zombies themselves. It's mankind as the antagonist and the way that we fail to get along even when we need to rise to the occasion. Right. And what's so great, you know, you explain this pitch of like, yeah, zombie heist flick is easy to say. But the joke here is that it's really a red herring, in which Tanaka doesn't care about the money in the vault. That's just to get everybody motivated on the team. He's essentially trying to capture, you know, the head of the queen so that he could possibly, you know, for whatever nefarious ends he has and wants with it. And I really like that it's a red herring. I thought that was fantastic. I'm curious, in your screenplay, was there ever a version where you were showing more about how Tanaka even knew about the existence of Zeus and the queen and this kind of alpha state of zombies? Because, you know, the characters generally don't. It's a mystery to them. The coyote does. You know, the coyote has a great understanding of it. But I'm just curious if there was ever scenes that, you know, it at a later third act point explain that more, or was that just something that we find revealed?
Yeah, I don't know that we ever had more Tanaka. I'm trying to think. I'm certain we talked about the why of his involvement, but, you know, it was one of those perspective jumps that I felt like, you know, to do as little as possible. Like, even just having the generals at his house, I thought was probably like, okay, I see. Like,
yeah,
they put him up to it. You know, it's a clever ruse of like, there's money. And you'll get the guy. That'll be a great way to get your guys in. And yeah.
So yeah, that was basically it. Was, we know obviously that it's like a kind of government created thing, and the military is like aware that, you know, the initial creature that went into Vegas was this kind of, you know, superpowered version of it. So basically, we just wanted to suggest by showing all the generals kind of around Tanaka's table that they've kind of keyed him in on this, and he's now a good kind of excuse to go in. And and the other thing is, I know in the movie, Garrett Dillahunt's character says that he doesn't give a shit about the money, but in my mind, he always gives a little bit of a shit about the money. It's kind of just like he would rather have the zombie alpha head because that's the more valuable piece of the prize. But also, he's, you know, still a greedy bastard at the end of the day. So I think his plan ultimately is like, get the head, get the money, and kind of kill two birds with one stone. But if it comes down to it, the head is the more important thing. So that was kind of how we talked about bundling it all up into this one mission that has the government sort of involved and serves this dual purpose.
What was your budget and schedule, Zach?
The schedule was, I won't say the exact budget because I think that's rude, but I'll say it's not a crazy expensive movie.
That's cool. What was your schedule?
Marcus and the visual effects team did it. I mean, we had this kind of philosophy where I would make the movie like a low budget film, right? Myself, you know, I'd operate, I'd be the DP, you know, and then we would try and spend all the money on scope and scale, right? So, you know, there'd be all these, we'd keep the movie kind of intimate, and then every now and then we would jump out and be like, what the heck? And the schedule was, how many days did we shoot? Was it 60 days or 60 something days? I think it was 60 something days.
Okay, great.
In Albuquerque and in Atlantic City.
It has like a great scope to it, and the effects were fantastic. And you know, I'm curious. It's always fun for writers to hear about left turns that were discarded. What was something, Shay and Zach, that you loved early on that was an idea that you had that you never shot, but it was for a couple of weeks. You're like, yeah, this is going to be a big part of the movie, but you had to abandon either time or just the idea didn't click as much anymore. It's always fun to hear about those left turns.
Yeah. I think there was a couple of sequences, like one in the final sequence in the casino. We had this whole sequence where they have to climb up the elevator shaft and there are zombies that are kind of stumbling down from the other levels and like plummeting down toward them as they're trying to climb the elevator cables, which I think was like a fun thing in the script. And then we kind of realized that practically it kind of would have been too much of a stumbling block in the kind of already, you know, big climax. But that was kind of always a fun idea that stuck in my mind. But who knows? Maybe we'll use it in another one.
We sure will.
Zach, was there something that comes to mind for you? An idea that was discarded that you?
Yeah. Well, you know, we originally had the zombie outbreak in the title sequence got a little outside of Vegas and they had to push it back. So there was it had gotten a little bit to LA and then there was like a big offensive and they really were able to push it back into Vegas and then wall it off. And so there was like this huge effort, like military effort to really restrain the zombie outbreak. But we felt like in the end, keeping it to Vegas made more sense. But it was just fun to talk about. And then the other thing is like when Shay and I were talking about the zombie baby, I had wanted to do, I had had this riff where like when Zeus is holding the zombie baby, he like imagines this, he has this kind of like a side where like you see him, like he and his zombie child, like he's like holding hands with this kind of, you know, his toddler zombie child. And it sees like in the dirt, in broken concrete, like an ABCs book, and it like picks it up. And then I forget the other scenarios, but I do remember the end was that like it was like the now grown child Alpha holding his dead Zeus in the reflecting pool in the Capitol with Alphas all around the outside and the Capitol on fire, and he screams no and he makes the first word.
Interesting.
Which I thought was funny.
Yeah. I mean, what rules were really important to you about the Alphas? Because, you know, zombie movies sometimes have rules, and here we see, you know, something new in which they could collectively fight, they could collectively organize, and you still have the Shamblers, so that there are two classes. What was
important? No, it's two classes, a class system. It's all about class system. It's also, well, I did, one of the things was that we wanted to, the audience to, if it was possible, to feel for the zombies, you know. And I thought if you could do that in a zombie movie, then that would be amazing. Like if you could be Team Zeus, even briefly, then that would be like a real achievement, because, you know, zombies tend to be kind of nonplus, emotionally nonplus for the audience, you know, unless it's like a loved one, but that's just horror. But the idea that you could actually, you know, feel like the humans, you know, the double cross that the humans do to the zombies, and have that be a motivator and or a catalyst for you to feel differently about what side you immediately just found yourself on. You know, like, you know, you kind of assume that when we go into a zombie infested Las Vegas, that you're going to kind of be on the side of the humans, you know, but it's cool to kind of play with that.
Yeah. And that was great. Obviously you made it easy, because we really hate Martin more than we hate anybody else in the movie as, you know, an antagonist, because he's the traitor of the team. And the sequence you had for the tiger to trounce him was fantastic. And I just love the zombie tiger as well. You know, one thing that people have brought up, and I'm just curious if it relates to a deleted scene, and if there's any deleted scene you want to talk about, is Kate's character goal is to save Geeta. And, right. And, you know, Geeta ends up on the helicopter. She satisfies her goal. But then we kind of don't see Geeta as much. Did she fall out? Was there something cut out regarding Geeta?
Well, she's there. She's there in the end, if you look carefully.
Okay.
But we don't see her. We don't see her die on camera. So I would say that's gotcha. It.
Well, yeah. You know, talk about that ending, because it's so complex, and you have this wonderful ticking clock of a nuke that's going to go off, and everybody's trying to get out. You have the final fight on a helicopter. You have Vegas blowing up in the background, and you have Van O, you know, winding up on a private jet to spread the virus. And there's a lot going on. What were some of the other ending ideas that you played with before you boiled it down to just that, which is, you know, really visual and was really fun to watch?
Yeah, it was always pretty much that. I think there was always, like, in our early drafts, there was a give or take of, you know, whether we were going to let one more or less character survive or not. But it was pretty much always that we felt like Scott had to make this sacrifice and Kate had to, you know, be let go with kind of the meager remains of the money to get the kids out. And then, yeah, we just loved the idea of the one survivor, you know, inadvertently ending up kind of potentially spreading this virus to the rest of the world. And kind of, you know, I think the ironic twist of that just kind of rams home the whole theme of the movie, which is just that the greed of this crew is ultimately their destruction. And that carries through kind of to the last moment, to the extent that it's now going to screw over the rest of the world as well.
Well, I know we're starting to run out of time. So, you know, a great last question that I always like to end with is, what was your toughest scene for both of you? Obviously, Shay on the page, and Zach, I'm curious your toughest scene on the page, but also your toughest scene as a director. And how did you creatively rise to the challenge? So, Shay, we'll start with you. What was your toughest scene on the page? The one you kept sweating and coming back to over and over. And how'd you solve the problem?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like the toughest trick of it, it might be that scene where they kind of first get into Vegas and kind of see the zombie queen, and then they make the sacrifice of Theo Rossi's character, because I think that is, it's such a kind of tonal shift in the movie where that's kind of where we're trying to announce that it is going to be doing kind of different things with tone. And it's kind of walking the line of his death being sort of funny because you hate him and he's playing it in a specific way, but also scary. So just kind of that tonal line in that scene, I think, is indicative of the tonal line we're trying to walk in the whole movie, and is always a fun challenge.
Zach.
That scene was really fun to shoot, actually. I mean, that whole bit was fun to do because the actors are really great in there. For me, I guess the hardest, most challenging, and it was more emotionally challenging and just hard, and I'm glad it was quick, was, like, you know, Kate and Scott's, like, final scene that we shot literally at the magic hour. That's the real sun setting. You know, those are real flares from the setting sun. That's cross shot down to Scott. So that's the same take. I think we only got two or three takes because of the light, but that was the hero one. So, yeah, it was just such a challenge you know, it's crazy that you work on something for, you know, a while, a long time writing and then prepping, and then you have the actors, and then you just have that one little 20-minute window with the lights just right, you know, to shoot this whole culmination of this whole thing. And it's almost like this real-time feeling, which I think is in a lot of ways really interesting. And I think that Ellen and Dave really seemed to like feed on as actors in the moment. You could tell that we were all trying to be on our A game and get the cameras in the right spot. And yeah, that was intense.
And Zach, what was your toughest scene on the page as a writer? The one scene that you kept coming back over and over again to rewrite?
It might've been that bit too, lobster rolls bit, you know, like was wondering what I was like. It's always one of those things, you're like, is that funny? Or is that like endearing, or is that just dumb? You know what I mean? Like, what do people say when they're like, you know, dying? What do you say to your kids that, like, you know, to not scare them, but then also, you know what I mean? That was like the hardest for me.
It was a great scene. Is the TV series still happening? I hope.
Well, we've done an animated series. Okay. That Shay wrote the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he and I did the story, but then Shay wrote the whole thing like an animal.
Amazingly. And that does, and it answers a lot of those questions about the origins and the military's involvement. And it goes into all of that.
That's
great. In some crazy ways.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for your time today, you guys, because I was highly entertained by this. And it was wonderful to see a big budget put forward to a zombie flick. And the film just looks absolutely gorgeous. And Zach, on a personal note, I hope it's not another 7 or 8 years before you write another screenplay. I think it's great that you.
Well, yeah, I hope not too. Well, also the other thing is, don't forget, Shay just also wrote our German prequel with Matthias's character, like learning to crack safes and being that guy. So Shay wrote that too. So it's been a real.
That's awesome.
He's really knee deep in the Army universe, if you will.
Yep.
I think that's awesome, and I hope it continues to expand.
My only hope is that Shay ends up at a, you know, some kind of Army of the Dead convention in like 30 years. And as this, like, you know, where everyone's like, oh, he's coming. He's here. He's
that's father. My hope, too. Yeah. Yeah. That's my I'll finally meet Dave Bautista at the convention in 30 years.
He's the, like, Gene Roddenberry. He's the Gene Roddenberry of the Army.
That sounds awesome. Wonderful.
Thanks so much for your time today, guys. Have a good one.
Awesome. Right, thank you so much.
And that's how the Q&A went down. Special thanks again to co-writer Shay Hatton and co-writer director Zack Snyder for being so generous with their time and chatting about their latest film, Army of the Dead. And, you know, I'm psyched to see how they expand this universe, because I think they're off to a great start, and I really do want to see more. So I'm looking forward to the TV series and whatever else comes forth. Of course, while you're surfing around online, I hope you check out Backstory Magazine over at backstory.net. You could read us on a desktop or laptop or via our iPad app, Backstory. You know, folks, if you've never read us before, I hope you'll test drive us by reading our free issue so you could see what we're all about. And of course, you know, you could check out our table of contents for our Oscar issue, which is our current issue. And there's plenty of non-Oscar stuff in there as well. So there's a lot to explore over at backstory.net. And if you want to become a subscriber, I'm happy to give you a coupon code, which is SAVE5. That's save and the number 5, and that will save you $5 off a 1-year subscription to Backstory. So look, it would really mean a lot to me to have my podcast listeners and iTunes and Spotify and my YouTube watchers on the Backstory Magazine YouTube page, which is where we are putting video of these Zoomcasts, become subscribers to Backstory Magazine. So thanks for considering. The Q&A with Jeff Goldsmith podcast is a copyright of Unlikely Films Incorporated in 2021. All rights reserved. Folks, if you want to get a hold of me, you could always find me on Twitter and Instagram as Yo Goldsmith. You could also find me running the Backstory Magazine account on Twitter and Instagram, which is Backstory_mag. I have a Facebook fan page I sometimes check, and you could always email me at backstoryletters@gmail.com. And I promise not to respond immediately, but I will go through it and I will get back to you at some point soon. I promise. I'm just a little slow on it, but I do like hearing from you, of course. I'm Jeff Goldsmith, the publisher of Backstory Magazine and the host of the Q&A, thanking you for tuning in and telling you to stay out of trouble. Till next week.